This morning's title is, as you can see, is To Be Continued. September 6, 2015, we started this study, The Harmony of the Gospel, combining all four Gospels in chronological orders. 2 years, 7 months later, now this is the last study of this thing. It's been a long time, and some of you have been here all that time. And some of you probably never been in this place. But we are going to finish, we are not going to finish at the end of the gospel, but we're going to go into the book of Acts for a short time. Book of Acts, as I mentioned. Why book of Acts? For two reasons. Number one, first chapter of the book of Acts talks about the ascension of Jesus Christ better and in more in detail than any of the four gospels. Second reason, Book of Acts is still being written by the disciples of Jesus Christ. Guess who they are? Us. Until the Lord's coming, we are writing the Acts of disciples. Some people say Acts of apostles. But we are writing the gospel according to us with our lives. Not according to our words. Words are cheap. You with me? Words are cheap. Anybody can declare. But the living the life that glorifies Jesus Christ is all the it makes all the difference. Jesus didn't go up to heaven and let us somehow survive in this anti-Christian world. Before he ascended to heaven, the Lord Jesus gave two assignments to all of us, not few, all of us. Witnessing and teaching, making disciples. He expects us to do them instead of sitting on our hand and twiddling our thumbs. You with me? Okay, let's stop and pray. Father, we thank you for your loving grace and never-ending mercy and your holiness that would not wink at our sins, but chastise us to correct us to be more like your Son Jesus. As we are about to finish this harmony of the gospel, please remind us how to live the way Jesus would. And please give us a self-control on those occasions when we are tempted to moralize and put people down. And make us aware that a godly life preaches an unforgettable gospel to the unsaved. Help us remember that we are your soldiers away from our home in heaven. Living in the culture that is lost its way. And it is desperate need of Jesus Christ, as once we were in desperate need of you. Father, keep us easy to live with and strong in faith, unbending in our convictions, yet full of grace toward those who are abound by sins and captured by habits they don't want to break. Just like our Jesus Savior did toward us. Remind us where we have been, and more, remind us of where we're going. Father, we are asking you to anoint the heart of the people who hear. As your words, let those who have an ear, let them hear the word of God. And asking your anointing to be upon the one who speaks and forgive his sins. We don't want to hear a man's word, but your word. Father, lifting up the President Trump and all the leaders in this country, Father, asking your blessing to be upon them and let them do the things that pleasing your sight. We also pray for our troops and law enforcement personnel and firefighters. It seems like we are living in the culture. They hate justice. They hate law and order. Father, protect them as they protect our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 21 of John, please. John chapter 21, verse 20. You all there? Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrayed you?" Peter, seeing him, John, that is John, and said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" Stop there for a moment. Let me give you the background in case you forgot or you don't know. This is the breakfast with Jesus at the Sea of Galilee. And at that moment, Jesus restored Peter 3 times. You guys know that. Because he betrayed Jesus 3 times, he publicly restored him 3 times. Everything was going well and nice, but Peter, being a Peter, he had to stop that moment, stick his foot, right foot, left foot, who knows, maybe he was inside both of them at the same time. What about him? I love the way Jesus answered, verse 22. He said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." In other words, it's not your business, boy. Then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? This is the disciple who testified of these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they are written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. Stop there, please. Let's face it, folks. As I mentioned, Peter is comparing himself with another person's future. That is how fashion world survived, isn't it? Comparing. By the way, I had a striped ties, neckties. But I think it was about 10 years ago. It's out of fashion, so I tossed them all. Guess what they have now? All striped ties. So, guys, gals, if you hold on to it for 10 years, 20 years, it will come back. You will be on top of the fashion. But in the spiritual world, listen carefully, please. Listen. In spiritual world, spiritual comparison, any kind of comparison is extremely hazardous for our spiritual health. Pastors compare their congregation size or budget size. And the people compare their spiritual condition with somebody else. Well, I can memorize all the index of the Bible, all 66 names in the Bible. Can you? Don't look down on others. Maybe you don't understand what that person is going through. We need to mind our own spiritual business. Let other Christians who are commanded to do by what other Christians are commanded to do by the Lord does not require any self-appointed supervisor. That's us. They don't report to you or me. I'm responsible for what I'm told to do by the Lord, and I report to him, and same goes for you individually. There always are spiritual busybodies who make other people's spiritual business as theirs. And this is a command from you to you, if you are that spiritual busybody. What is that to you? You follow me. Comprende? That's a Spanish in case you haven't noticed. To be distracted by ourselves, our circumstance, or by other Christians is to disobey the Lord and possibly get detoured out of the will of God. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus and Him alone. This does not mean that we ignore others, because we do have a responsibility of caring for one another. If that person, your brother and sister, is a fall spiritually, you go to him and help him out. Galatians 6:1, please. So keep your finger in John in the gospel. Galatians, right before Ephesians. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, in other words, sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. We all can be in that kind of situation. Caring for one another, that's what the body of Jesus Christ is all about, isn't it? We have a responsibility of caring for one another. Rather, it means that we must not permit our curiosity about others to distract us from the following the Lord. God has a plan for them, God has a plan for you, and God has a plan for me. My business is taking care of what the Lord told me to do. How He works in their lives is His business. Our business is to follow Him as He leads us. Later, the power of the Holy Spirit, this ragged band of the Galilean fishermen, turned the world with the power of God. They turned the world right side up. This time, go to Acts chapter 1, please. Acts chapter 1, verse 4, please. And being assembled together with them, he, Jesus, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me." For John truly, that's John the Baptist, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you be at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or season which the God Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth." That means Sarita and Green Valley as well. Disciples did not understand the main reason Jesus came to earth when he came for the first time. And after the resurrection, guess what? They still didn't get it. They thought, well, maybe this time, since he's a resurrected person, he can do a whole lot more. Well, he could do a whole lot more at the beginning too. No difference. While God is speaking to us in spiritual level, we only can think about physical level. This is a case in point. What about your case? What about your situation? Is God speaking to you? Put your mind into the word, understand what I'm trying to do to you, and while you're thinking, what about the next paycheck? Are we going to have enough money to pay bills? Let me ask you this. If that is the case, God promised that He will provide all our what?
Needs,
according to His riches and glory. Am I correct? Did He meet our need? Anyone who said no, He didn't meet our need, raise your hand. Then God failed you. If He failed you, He is not God. You're thinking about Lamborghini while God is thinking about Yugo. God is meeting your need with the Yugo. See, we often think about what we want over what God wants. And because God is not meeting what we want, we think that God failed. Did He fail? No. With that in mind, when you go to Harbor Boulevard in Anaheim and you see this sign, been there, right? Many of you been there. It means you are going to spend a lot of money. You are going to get the second mortgage to get in there. And you are going to get the third mortgage to have a lunch there. $120 pop during the on season. And to buy a little bottle of water, it costs $5. When you can get the whole case, 35 bottles case at Costco for $3, less than $3. And when you go see this sign, you are going to lose a lot of money if you gamble. Sign has meaning. Sign has a meaning. While we cannot pinpoint when Jesus is going to come back to get us out of this world known as rapture, we can see the sign of the time that says getting very close. What are those signs? You read them in the Bible. And you also read them in the headlines every day, and you can watch them in the news. I'm not a prophet, nor am I the son of a prophet. But the signs of times are plainly recorded in the Bible, and I can see it, what's happening around us. Listen, biblical prophecies provide some of the greatest encouragement and hope available to us today. Just as the Old Testament is saturated with the prophecy concerning the Christ's birth, so the both testament are filled with a reference to the second coming of Jesus Christ. In case you cannot tell the difference between the rapture and the second coming of Jesus Christ, so listen carefully. Rapture is Jesus coming down to get all the born-again Christians out of this world. He does not touch down on the ground. He just will be in the middle of the air. According to 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, with the shout of archangels and the trumpet call of God, dead in Christ will rise first, and we will caught up, which where we get the rapture, English word, get, and meet with Him in the air, will go to heaven. From there on, 7-year tribulation. At the end of the 7-year tribulation, there will be the second coming of Jesus Christ. When the second coming of Jesus Christ, Jesus will be the ultimate judge. He will be the King of kings and Lord of lords. He will judge all the unbelievers. Are you with me? You don't want to be caught up there. If you are not a born-again Christian, you don't want to go through that. You may say, well, I just might change my mind right before the Jesus comes. Really? You want to take that chance? One scholar estimated that there are 1,845 references of Christ's second coming in the Old Testament, where the 17 books give its prominence. In the 7,956 verses in the New Testament, I didn't count, somebody else counted, and there are 318 references to the second coming of Christ. An amazing one out of every 25 verses. 23 of the 27 New Testament books refer to this great event. For every prophecy in the Bible concerning the first first arrival of Christ as a baby in the manger. There are eight which look forward to the second coming of Christ as the King of Kings and the ultimate judge. Maybe second coming is important. Do you get that? In the meanwhile, all we have to do, we all have a job to do, rather. Taking gospel of Jesus Christ to our family members, our neighbors, friends, co-workers, even the strangers. In case you noticed, when I pray for some of you guys traveling, I often, at the end of a prayer, I say, whoever come across their path, I pray that they will be able to minister to them and bring them to Christ. Folks, that is your job and my job. It's not just pastor's job. And you may say, well, I don't know much about Bible. I don't know how to lead people to Christ. If you yield yourself, if you do the daily devotion, you have to put something in to get out, right? You cannot think, well, maybe I'll sleep on the Bible. Maybe it will transfer like this. It doesn't happen that way. You have to put something in. You have to memorize the Bible verses. Why do you think we do the memorization? Put the word in your heart instead of dumb, stupid sitcoms from TV. Put it in your heart, and you will be surprised how the Holy Spirit anoints you and bring them to remembrance. And all of a sudden, you're going to realize, wow, I sound like a Billy Graham. I should hold a Bible like this. Folks, when the Holy Spirit empowers you, it's amazing. Without the Holy Spirit, your witnessing will be nothing more than nasty crash and burn. But when the Holy Spirit opens the door and leads you, and He will fill your heart with His power, what you will say about Jesus to them will be impossible to stop, impossible to ignore, and impossible not to be heard, and impossible to resist. The same power that energized the first century believers is available to us today. Have you ever been empowered by the Holy Spirit? If not, you can be. Ask God to fill your heart with His power to change your world. And some of you are thinking, I don't want Him to empower me too much. Then I'm going to lose all the fun. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe that's the thing that holds you back. Because you have one foot in the carnal world still, while you're trying to keep your feet in the God's world. It's not about the emotion, it's all about the fact, and God wants you to be filled with His power. Rather than focusing on when Jesus is coming back, because He will come back according to His divine schedule, regardless of our calculations, we should focus on what we are to be doing as we wait for His return. Amen? By the way, did you hear this? A few weeks ago, some bozo said the rapture date is April 23rd. And I thought, okay, we know that the rapture will not happen April 23rd, for sure, because somebody predicted. Always, there's somebody. You know, which part of no one knows you do not know, right? Even if in Southern Swedish it says no one knows. Matthew 28. If this is the first time to our church, you're wondering why I said the Southern Swedish, because that's my native language. I'm from Southern Sweden. Then 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him and but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me and in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the ages. Amen." You know, if I were Jesus, with a resurrected body, I would show up in front of chief priest, and Pharisees. Say, "Boo, I'm back." God would not do that kind of juvenile thought or doing things, so he just did what is the right thing. He did not waste time on that kind of thing. Rather, he showed himself to those who need living hope. In this verse, the word "go" has a continuing tense in Greek, or some people called present tense. Literally means "as you are going." In other words, as you are going to the grocery store, as you are going to school, as you are going to work, wherever you are going, share the gospel of Jesus. In other words, the Great Commission takes on much broader perspective. We are to be sharing and teaching wherever we are going and whatever we are doing. Are you with me on that? Some people ask me, which one is more important, evangelizing or discipling? I answer them, both. You cannot neglect one from another. We need to evangelize to bring the people to Christ. And we need to bring them up by discipling them and teaching them. And those people will go out to evangelize the others. This should be a healthy cycle, continuously going. If we stop discipling, the baby Christian will not grow. Somewhere along the line, we have a separate evangelism from discipleship. But there is no such a distinction in the Bible. The idea of a Great Commission is not such as you have somebody to pray the sinner's prayer and receive Jesus Christ, and they say, "God bless you, see you later," and stop there. It's like if you do that, it's like a mother who just delivered a baby say, "Oh, you are so beautiful. Okay, here's a box of a pamper. Go your way. God bless you, child." No, mother should nurture their child. Mother should take care of their child. Mother should care for their child to grow up in the right way. Same thing. Discipleship is equally important as evangelism. Our objective, our vision, our missions are to make disciples. We must strive to get the new Christians up on their feet spiritually and help them acclimate to the church and learn what it means to be Christian. Only then we are truly fulfilling Great Commission. This time go to Acts chapter 9, please. Acts chapter 9, verse 26. "And when Saul," that is Saul of Tarsus, also known as Apostle Paul, "Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles." After Apostle Paul's conversion, there were great doubt among the believers as to whether he was a real believer or not. Some thought maybe he's masquerading as a believer, so he can infiltrate our ranks and arrest us and take us into prison. They didn't believe him. But there are two people God brought to Apostle Paul. First one is Ananias. Second one is Barnabas. Ananias instructed to go visit Paul, Saul, so he can pray for Saul's eyes that he may see, have the sight again. I'm sure Ananias was asking when he heard from God in the prayer, he said, "Are you sure, Lord? This is the guy who's been coming after us. And this is the Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor of the church. Do you want him to have an eyesight back?" And then Barnabas. The name Barnabas is an encourager. And he is the one personally introduced Paul to the other disciples and reassured them that his conversion was sincere. Listen up. How refreshing, how encouraging for must have been to Apostle Paul when everybody's running away and here's the man who showed up and he said, "He is with me. I'm vouching for him." How many of us would like to be a Paul? We all have that kind of mindset. I want to be used by God to turn the entire world right side up. Wouldn't that be cool? And how many of us would like to be the next Billy Graham? But not many of us are called to be another Apostle Paul or Billy Graham. But all of us are called to be the encourager, Barnabas. You may not be the next Paul, you may not be the next Billy Graham, but you may have an impact on the one who will be. That person you take under your wing could shake his or her world. What Barnabas did is a good illustration of a true discipleship, because discipling is not just teaching, it also is being a friend. What does it mean? It takes time. It takes effort. It takes your resource. I've seen a person, a pastor, he's a good teacher. He loved to teach. And that's it. He didn't want to associate with the people. Soon as he finished his teaching, beeline to do something else. There's no discipleship in his church. What good is it? Listen, this Sunday morning class, Sunday morning service, has a two meaning. To evangelize, pulpit evangelism, as well as a teaching. Midweek service we go in more in-depth study of the Bible. And then we have three discipleship class going on, led by Pat Campbell for the ladies, New Believers class, and Gary Hawley, he's leading the men's disciples, New Believers class. And I also lead the discipleship class. Those who feel that call of God is on them. I teach them how to study the word, I teach them how to prepare the sermon. This time go to Acts chapter 1 again, verse 9 please. Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up. A cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven?" Probably they said, we don't see it here. Probably close your mouth. You're gaping. This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will also come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Our Lord Jesus' ascension into heaven is very important to us. I'm sure that his disciples felt they were left behind all alone with a horde of bad guys all around them who want to persecute them in any way they could. Is that true? Yes. What they don't realize, he gave them the Holy Spirit. I see three things. Number one, if Jesus did not return to the Father, he could not send the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. Second point, the Savior is our interceding high priest, giving us the grace that we need for life and service. Third point, Jesus is also our advocate before the Father, forgiving us when we confess our sins. The exalted and glorified head of the church is now working with his people on earth and helping them accomplish his purposes. These two men, in my opinion, I believe that they were angels, and told the disciples to put their attention on the right place. Obedience to Jesus' command to return to Jerusalem and not in wondering where and how Jesus went. Jesus told them to go to the end of the earth, but they were stood there and gazing up to heaven. Sometimes we get sidetracked. How many Christians love to see the miracles? I do too. But more than miracles. Folks, apostles were given the power to do miracles. But miracles were following their teachings, what they taught, and the miracle happened as an accessory. To prove that these are the genuine apostles of Jesus Christ. Do not rely on the miracles, because Satan can perform the miracles as well. Let's go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 11, second half. What the angel said, "This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go to heaven." What do they mean? I see the three things. Number one, he left physically and will so come in likely manner. At this rapture time and the second coming of Jesus Christ, he's not going to come back spiritually. He's going to come back literally, physically. Understand? Second point, Jesus left visibly, so he will come back likely manner. When Jesus comes back to get us out of this world in rapture, only the born-again Christian will see, will hear his sound. If you don't hear, that means you have not received Christ as Lord and Savior. But the second coming of Jesus Christ, everyone will see. Third point, Jesus left from the Mount of Olives, and he will so come in a likely manner. Okay, close your Bible, close your note. Listen to me carefully, please. My brothers and sisters, please remember this. Jesus is coming back soon. There's not one single prophecy need to be fulfilled. And no one knows the date of rapture. Are you with me? If somebody said, coming up with a formula, and this is the date of rapture, tell them to go take a hike on I-19. Because he's lying through his teeth. Pray for his return. Do what you are told to do in this world. Witness to the unbelievers and make a disciples of Jesus with your life and your word. Amen?